Welcome back, ghouls and ghoulettes, to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And this is another Potoween episode. This time around, we're going through the guest.
Mrs. Peterson?
Can I, help you?
My name is David. I knew your son. I was with him when he died. One of the things he asked was for me to check on y'all. You and your whole family here. I said I'd do that, and so here I am.
Would you like to come inside?
Thank you, ma'am.
Wow, this is actually my first time watching this movie. Shad's been trying to get me to watch it for some quite some time now. And I've been like, whatever.
You and everyone else when this movie came out.
Yeah. Because it only made like a little over $300,000. It was limited release. And it also had an NC-17 rating for some very strange reason, because this movie did not have any more.
It was no worse than Halloween.
I would say it's no worse than like did Rob Zombie's movies, even though.
Yeah, actually, I think a lot of those are NC-17, though.
Yeah, they should be NC garbage. That's what the rating should be for those films. But anyways, we're talking about The Guest today.
Yes.
Which was directed by Adam Wingard and written by Simon Barrett, both dudes that also did Your Next.
The Blair Witch, Blair Witch.
Blair Witch, and, well, Blair Witch Now, back in the day, they hadn't done that yet.
Yeah.
But, there were some pretty busy guys. And
Adam Wingard is doing the new King Kong versus Godzilla movie.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's coming out next year. It's already done. They're just in pre-production on it now, or post-production now. He's actually directing that.
Yeah, they also collaborated on A Horrible Way to Die and the VHS and VHS 2.
I haven't seen A Horrible Way to Die, but I've heard it's pretty good. It's more of a kind of like a slow drama horror type thing. But we might need to check it out sometimes. What I was trying to get out there.
Okay. Now, the film stars Dan Stevens, a.k.a. Matthew from Downton Abbey, and Micah Monroe, who is kind of a scream queen in her own right. She did this, and she also did It Follows.
Yeah.
So she's done some stuff. Currently dating the guy from Stranger Things. We're going to call him Chips Ahoy Guy because I can't.
Scoops Ahoy.
Scoops Ahoy. Okay. Oh, play on puns there. I see what happened. Yeah, she's dating that guy. So that's cute. And why would we choose this for a Halloween movie? Well, it's kind of set around Halloween. And the decor is to the max, especially towards the end of the film. Where we'll discuss that later, but the end of the film, I mean, the set design alone, I'm like, can I have this? Can someone build this for me? Because I need this in my life. That's why Shad thought I would love the film, because Halloween, as many of you out there, is my favorite season, my favorite holiday. And I have an obsession with, you know, collecting old Halloween decor and just Halloween decor in general. So he knew I would appreciate this from like a set design standpoint. And I have to say that if this movie wasn't set on Halloween, I still would obviously have watched it. I don't think it's a horror movie. It's more of a thriller-ish.
Yeah, it's kind of a horror, thriller, action kind of thing. There's a little bit of the, you know, I say it's a horror just because of, you know, the sudden turn of events and everything. You know, they take the guy in, they're trusting him, then he turns out to be not what they thought.
I guess. I would say that's more thriller, but that's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, it's a pretty fucking good movie. And it's pretty sad that it didn't get the recognition that it deserves when it came out in the theaters. It does have a following and a strong rating on Rotten Tomatoes, if you care about that thing. I don't. But I really enjoyed the film for what it is. And it did have some pretty good kill scenes. And there was, I mean, it's more action-y than anything. But I like that. I like that kind of like action. I'm going to like kill in very creative, you know, crazy ways kind of thing. So let's just start off with that. It has, oh, also for you Gossip Girl fans up there, XOXO. It has the sister of the Blair's mom. Not Blair. I'm so sorry. I'm getting all my Gossip Girl bullshit messed up. Some bitch from Gossip Girls is a mom in there. And she's the sister that is just evil. And I really didn't like her in Gossip Girl. But she's also in the film. And she plays a mom who has lost her son to the war in Afghanistan.
Yep. And then she's sitting there kind of melancholy, sad about that. And she said, there's a knock on the door. She opens it up and it's Dan Stevens saying, hi, I served with your son and I was actually there when he died. He wanted me to come check on you guys and see how you're doing and let you know they loved you and he cared about you.
Yeah, that was his whole point for coming over. And, you know, it's kind of sus, but he's just so damn polite and he's just so well-mannered that he definitely takes his family over.
And, you know, he points out like, hey, this is a picture of me and your son right here on your fireplace. This is me standing next to you, a picture of all the guys in the unit. And she's like, oh, yeah. So she doesn't have a reason to not believe he's who he says he is, you know?
Yeah, because he's in the fucking picture. It's not like he photoshopped it while she was there, blinked for 5 seconds.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, yeah, okay. So they invite him to stay. The dad kind of reluctantly at first, but after he's drinking a few beers with him, he decides he's a pretty nice guy, so they let him stay.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, builds a bond with him. And right off the bat, you see some hints here and there of Halloween decor. You got your little jack-o'-lanterns, you know, all kinds of sizes, and you got your you know, your Halloween decorations on the wall. So you're kind of getting the feel. But the only thing that felt a little off for me was the fact that it did not look anything like autumn outside. But that was for a good reason.
They're in New Mexico.
So you were not going to have that feel. But they did do a good job with having everywhere that they filmed, which it was actually set in several different places. You got, there was a bar scene, their home, a friend's house, the school, and like the gym. You have like a lot of different locations, and they really dressed up each and every location to be very Halloweenish.
Yeah, when you look around, you're like, oh, it's definitely October, you know?
For sure. And this guy just comes in and just sweeps everybody away. He's just so damn, like I said, he's just so likable. And there's no reason not to like him.
Yeah, he comes in, he's friendly, he's polite, he's a good-looking guy. He helps out when you ask him to. And by help out, I mean when the daughter takes him to a party with her, and somebody says, hey, we've got these kegs over there. Could someone go get them? He says, sure, I'll go get them. He comes back in carrying both kegs of beer. Just one in his hand like it's a six-pack and the other on his shoulder. Just, where do you want these? And everybody in the room, their panties just hit the floor.
Yeah, they sure did.
Even a couple of the guys, underwear, on the floor.
It's a cool scene. And I really enjoyed it because everyone is just so shocked about what the hell's going on. And, you know, he looks hot. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be there. He's like, whatever. He's a pretty good looking dude.
You said, though, you definitely didn't recognize him from Downton Abbey.
No, I did not. Because he looks 360 completely different. And he was a big part of the show for anybody out there that may love this show like I did. Like I said, he played Matthew. And he's you know, buff here. He has facial hair. Obviously, his accent is not really that predominant. It's a little, there's a little bit of an accent, but it's not anything we're going to pick up automatically. And you just, he looks nothing like him. He's a complete opposite. I showed you a picture.
Yeah. He did kind of the, like there's a story online that we read where it's when they met him, they said he was Christian Bale in The Machinist, and they wanted Christian Bale in Batman Begins. So they put him to work on all that. And they did, whoever trained him did a good job.
Yeah, they sure did, because he looked ready to kick some ass. And he was going to need it, because the whole movie, I was like, what is this movie about? Like, I don't know. Where is this going? What is this guy? He doesn't sleep. I don't even remember him eating, to be honest. Does he even eat in the fucking movie?
They never showed him eat. They showed him drink a few things. They showed him drink some water, drink some beer.
Yeah, so he doesn't eat, and it seems like he doesn't sleep. He's a machine. And that is not spoiling anything, because he is not a machine per se.
He does the creepy thing where they take him in and say, here, you can settle in this room. And he's just sitting on the bed, staring out the window, not blinking for a long period of time. It's like, oh, that's totally normal.
Yeah. And let's say at the beginning of the movie, not to backtrack, the way that he gets to the town from like the bus stop is that he ran. And it was a really long run.
Yeah, he ran like 5 miles.
Yeah, he ran like Terminator style with his like ditty bag, like his like, you know, well, his, those are his dirty clothes, with his like army bag, like huge ass thing on his fucking back, like it was nothing. Like he just had a, like fucking sheets of paper in there.
Yeah. And, you know, as he starts to hear about the family's problems, you know, the dad's complaining to him. Hey, you know, the guy got a promotion in front of me. Ah, that guy sucks. He just, because he got a degree, he got this promotion. And he's just listening going, yeah, that does suck. And then later you just find out, oh, that guy mysteriously died. And now the dad got the promotion he wanted to begin with. What an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, he also helps the brother with some bully issues. He also, you know, helps, well, he doesn't help the girlfriend, but he thinks he's helping the girlfriend by trying to get rid of the boyfriend who's like dead weight. Because she wants to go away to college and the boyfriend is just a loser, like, you know, guy that's selling drugs. So he has nothing going for him. So he does want to help the family in different ways. And in all of this, I don't really think, I mean, beside the fact that he did say he was there to help the parents or help the family, I don't really think there was a clear, like, agenda of, not why he decided to do it, but like, where is he going after this? Why did he want to stay? I mean, I guess there should have been more to like his story in that aspect of like what his...
I think there was, and I think a lot of it was cut out, because I read that there was a lot of the scenes that were cut out because the test audiences thought it was a little too long. So I think that a lot of the stuff that explained more about him ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Well, spoilers from this point on. So if you do not want to hear anything more about the film, listen to one of our other amazing podcasts.
Then go watch the movie and come back.
Yes. So you can enjoy the little things that we're discussing. So out of all the different areas, what was your favorite like Halloween decor, not including the last scene?
I think it was probably the just their house in general. Their house in general was like, they had a Halloween tree up, and this is like 2014. You didn't see a lot of Halloween trees back then. They had a Halloween tree up. They had like the whole like, you know, like coffee pot looking thing that was a pumpkin that the like the stem was kind of on the side so you could pour out of it. They had the matching mugs. The whole family's house was amazing.
Yeah, they also had, like, little stockings over the fireplace, which Shad and I do have Halloween stockings, and we've had a Halloween tree now for about 3 years. And it was interesting to see, because at that time, like you said, it wasn't something you were going to go out and find in the store, per se, because it wasn't a really big thing as it is now. I would have to say that I really like the party scene, because you do get some people dressed up and there's like a demon.
Yeah, it was kind of like the like a vampire bat. And when I say vampire bat, I mean like a, it had like a bat, regular bat face, but then a full like body. I've seen some vampires, excuse me, that are done that way, where it's kind of like a, it actually looks like a regular bat's face.
It reminded me of the troll in Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
It were like a huge version, because that head was like an oversized head. It was really large. We don't really see any of the main characters, the family, or Dan Stevens in costume at all. It's just surrounding people. And it's just one of those things, like, this just happens to be going on in our town. It just happens to be, you know, Halloween.
Yeah.
But we're not, and we have, like, the house decorated, but it, this is not anything about Halloween. We just chose this because it's set during that time frame, and we just like the way the decor looked, especially, as we said many times, the end decor. So, what do you think was the inspiration behind, like, the film in general?
I think this is kind of a, it's what if Captain America went wrong? Because as you, like you said, spoilers from here on out, as you find out soon, the guy, David, that Dan Stevens plays, was part of a program to enhance soldiers, make them better, you know, the whole better, stronger, faster thing. They were also programmed to make sure that their identity wasn't kept secret. Anyone that finds out what they are programmed to kill them.
Or their mission.
Yeah. So that's why they found out, like, hey, this worked a little too well. These guys take it a little too seriously. And you hear him say, like, the people died, the rest of them all died in a fire. They thought he was dead as well, but then they find out he's alive. So they send the team to come and get him back. He doesn't deal with that real well. He not only decides to kill the entire mercenary team they send after him, he starts in after the family too, because they now know what he is.
Yeah, he has to clean up, you know, the evidence that he was a living, breathing person and going around, which is crazy because he stole someone else's identity and was living as that person. So what would it matter if he stole someone else's identity? They wouldn't be able to find him. So that kind of didn't, what, maybe he just really liked the name David and he had the dog tags. So,
well, I think he might have actually, he just used that name. He used that name. Like, he obviously knew their son for real because he was in the picture. But it was just a question of how he knew him and what his real name was and all that. He didn't really, it was never really clear who he actually was.
Yeah. He was the stranger, aka the guest.
Yes.
So you don't really know anything about
him. But so when he decides he's got to eliminate the family, he does a pretty good job of it. But you have the a guy from the, allegedly from the military police, although I don't think he really was, is Lance Reddick. You remember from, he's the concierge in John Wick at the hotel. And he grabs up the sister and is like, look, we got to go get your brother, protect you, because he's coming for you. And yeah, he's coming all right. I mean, he goes in, you know, takes care of everyone at the diner that, you know, saw what had happened, or that knew who he was or had seen him. And then he goes after the brother and sister because the brother is at the dance. He's helping set up for the Halloween dance. And it is the single most amazing Halloween dance you'll ever see.
Yeah, you first enter through walking through a jack-o'-lantern's mouth into a maze that's broken up into, like, different themes. You have, like, a carnival, like, creepy clown-like theme, which reminded me straight out of Hell House LLC.
Yeah.
Like, with the clowns just, like, sitting and standing there. Super F creepy. Then there's, like, a hall of mirrors. Then there's, like, another room where you have to, like, kind of, like, crouch it down a little bit. They kind of had a little bit of everything. There was even, like, I guess besides the clown one, my favorite one was, like, the wooden house, like the,
it's kind of a chainsaw massacre thing. Like, yeah, there's meat hanging, there's like people hanging from meat hooks and stuff. Stuff you would never actually see at a school, because you know schools are way too afraid to do any of this kind of stuff. And then you get out into, like, when you finally get out into the dance floor, the wall in the background has a giant, or has three giant images on it, and they just happen to be the masks from Halloween 3.
on them.
The whole floor is covered in hay. There's fog everywhere. It's an amazing dance area.
I hate anyone that was able to go to this dance if this was a real life thing. I hate you. And it's such a magical, amazing dance. I mean, I've been to some pretty like fantastical Halloween dances / like parties in New York when I was growing up. So I really got a great Halloween experience, which is why I love it so much, because there's like a nostalgic thing from my childhood, and also because, you know, Halloween's freaking awesome. But definitely this was like something that you wish you would come into. Like, why isn't this a thing? Like, I need to go to the school that has this like fantastical Halloween dance / Halloween maze. You can't even enter the dance without going through the maze. Like, you're forced to do so. And the whole end scene is them going through this house over and over again, or the dance area, and, you know, fighting him off, because he's like the fucking Terminator. Like,
yeah, he's not gonna stop.
There's no stopping him. And, you know, he had built a relationship with these kids, with this family, and it's kind of heartbreaking because he went in there with good intention, but things just got all messed up. And then he just went into, you know, he's programmed. So he went into like program mode and just started killing people.
He's went into murder mode.
Yeah. So that was very unfortunate, but it's really cool to know that obviously the people that were behind the movie, they have their love for, you know, different horror films. Obviously Halloween 3, which you stated was kind of like the inspiration for the soundtrack.
Yeah, the composer used the same equipment to compose this as they did the soundtrack for Halloween 3.
I need this album because it has the most, like, unique music. You know, you have a bit of recognizable stuff like Sisters of Mercy. But then there was like some other, well, to me, unknown people. But the music really works well because it's kind of, I don't want to say off-putting, but there's a lot of like German style, like Wolfsheim, like kind of like weird music, like electronical music that kind of fits the situation because it's kind of off. You know, you don't really know what they're saying or what's really happening. And it kind of sets, it definitely sets the tone for the film in a lot of the scenes, especially in the last scene. So I really enjoy that because I have kind of maybe an obsession with collecting soundtracks. I have more soundtracks than I actually have CDs. Yes, I still have CDs. And I think that soundtracks are good because you get a little bit of everything that you like. And also, a good soundtrack will be able to send you right back into said scene of a movie. And I could totally see this soundtrack doing that if I owned it. So, this concludes our Potoween episode. You're like, we'll be... Yes, we will be back, as Shad was probably going to say. Yes. Thanks so much for listening to our selection. This one was chosen for its kills. I give it 3.5 knives.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, it's definitely something to check out. And if you just like to, you know, own a movie that has, that's set, you know, during Halloween, this is definitely a great one, and it's a good watch overall.
All right.
Thanks so much. Stay tuned to the horror.
Hey kids, here comes Peter Pumpkin. For a safe Halloween, do what Peter does. Wear a light-colored costume short enough so you don't trip. If you wear a mask, make sure you can see. Makeup's better. Don't crisscross the street. Call on one side, then the other. Parents, set boundaries, and it's time to be home. Carry a flashlight for extra safety. And let's all have a safe Halloween.